Michael Moran. I'm an alcoholic. And I have to tell you that this room is so wonderful. There's so much love in this room, you know, and I know that because I know there's love and laughter in this room. And isn't that wonderful? I mean, really. And I think wherever there's love and laughter in the room, God's in the room. And I think we're very blessed to be here. And I want to say thank you to my home group for coming for support. I think that is so wonderful, you know, when more than three people show up and support the speakers. And it means a lot to me. I know when I go on a commitment, and I think it's great for the group spirit to support each other and go to meetings and be there for each other. So, you know, and that's the way this program works. We're here, and thank God we're here. You know, who thought that when I was hanging off a bar stool or snorting cocaine in some place I shouldn't be, who thought that I'd be standing up here talking about God and AA and sobriety and through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and the grace of Almighty God? I haven't found it necessary to pick up a mood altering substance since 1982, especially booze. And I'm very grateful for that. And the only reason I tell you that is not to hide behind my time, but to tell you that it can be done. And we're here for each other. You know, I'm not here. I couldn't do it alone because my best thinking has gotten me very bad trouble and has gotten me in some very bad spots. And Amy, I would have drank with you. That's for sure. I'll tell you right now. I'd like you to be my bartender. We would have fun. I went to a school for when I was born. I was born with a congenital glaucoma, and my parents sent me to a residential Catholic school for blind children. So I stayed there. You know, we lived there, and it was run by the Good Sisters of Perpetual Revenge. We had Sister Mary God Help Us, Sister Slap A Lot of Us, Sister Mary Menopause. She was in charge of the whole thing. And it was a very, very abusive environment. And I had a very bad concept of what God, who God was, what God was. I always thought I was never enough for God and that he was waiting to toss me into the bowels of hell at any given moment. And I mean, they taught us everything was bad. Whatever you did, you thought, you said, I don't know, it was bad. It was, I couldn't keep track of it all, you know. And when we hit puberty, it was really bad because they give you that, you know, they read your sins to you before you go to confession, you know. So the boys are there, and you got your head on the desk. They read you, did I lie to sister, did I? And they get to the, did I touch myself in impure parts of my body? Now I'm thinking, well, yeah, I mean, I'm 11, 12 years old. Of course I did. Am I not supposed to do that? And then, so we go to the priest, you know, and the poor priest didn't know what to do. We had to go there every week and tell him the same thing. He says, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't tell us, don't do that. You'll go blind. You can't scare us, Father. We're already blind. Yeah, we don't. We're not stopping. And when I got out of that place, I thought, oh my God. So then I was one of the first blind students to go to a regular high school in Jersey City. And these poor nuns, I guess they thought they were going to get this nice blind boy who was going to say the rosary and stay home and read Braille books. But they could find me any night on the corner. You know, we couldn't get to school on time, but we could make it there at night to hang out on the corner, right on the corner of where the school was in Jersey City. And we had a guy who was, his name was Pinckney. He had a 5 o'clock shadow at 10 o'clock in the morning in the fifth grade. So when we wanted to drink, we put a hat on his head and a pipe in his mouth and send him into the liquor store. And the first time I drank, because we could drink at Pinckney's house, only beer. Later on, Pinckney invented a water pipe. He was like this crazy genius, you know. He invented a water, we don't know what, from a water pipe. We're listening to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and smoking a water pipe and drinking and whatever we're doing. And the first time I got drunk, I thought, man, this is the absolute best. It don't get any better than that. I was not afraid anymore. I was not ashamed anymore. I didn't think I was less than. I just felt so good. And I will never forget that feeling. And I chased that feeling for years after that. But I never got there. I got other places, but I didn't get that feeling. You know, that magic? My goal was to learn to drink and not throw up. I had high goals, you know, I had high aspiration. So I learned to do that, you know. I mean, don't we all? Eventually, you know, I get out of high school, I don't know how, and because we would hang on the corners, and you know, with I was one of the guy, you know, I had weights, and we go down my basement, lift weights, tell our parents we're doing homework, and then you know, and go out and hang on the corner. We had a doo-wop group. We'd sing for the girls, and you know, all that jazz, and then we'd drink, and then we'd I don't know. We got into the Can You Top This Club, you know, anything crazy, anything nuts, we would do it. And eventually, I started hanging out in the bars, and I got to tell you, man, I am so comfortable in a bar. I am more comfortable on a bar stool with a glass of scotch on the rocks and a pack of Marlboros and a Zippo lighter than people are in their recliner. That stool was made for me, baby. And I loved hanging out in the bars, especially the bars in Jersey City. I mean, there was always action, you know, people coming in selling stuff, you know. I got coats with, I guess they had tire marks on them. They must have fell off the truck. Coats, shirts, televisions, I don't know. And all kinds of craziness. You know, we had people with crazy names, you know, like Joey Bag of Donuts and Cup of Coffee and Barky the Bread Man. And the interesting thing was, or funny thing was, I don't know if it went one way or the other, but I think Joey Bag of Donuts was found in Cup of Coffee's trunk. He was deceased. And I don't know how that happened, you know, in Jersey City. How can a thing like that go on? But so I loved the bars. And eventually I got married. I found a hostage, you know, like we do. Got married, had kids, bought a house, all that stuff. But I could never fill my role as a father, as a husband, as a brother, as a son. I was just, alcohol was such a friend to me. I used it to wake up, go to sleep, and be funny, and whatever I needed it for, it was there. And you know, I couldn't get home. I couldn't get home for supper. You know, I was always calling my wife saying, listen, I got to talk to this guy. I always had to talk to a guy. And, you know, in New Jersey, we all know a guy, right? Everybody in New Jersey knows a guy. I actually met a guy once who said he was the guy. But I'm not quite sure. I'm not too sure about that. But anyway, I just drank and eventually got divorced and said, now I can live my life the way I want and do what I want, which I was doing anyway. I don't know. And you know, I was just doing some crazy stuff for a lot of years, and hanging out with such, I mean, I'm talking about bad people. You know, I remember one New Year's Eve, I went on a run with, you know, like a big mob guy. He goes, come on, let's go. We get in the car, we're shooting all over the place. And you know, I'm thinking, I'm with this big mob guy. It's like nothing to it, you know? I'd hang out in the bars and it was crazy behavior, you know, people guy would say it's 2 o'clock, we're closing. Some guy would take out a gun and shoot the clock. And he goes, it ain't 2 o'clock anymore. I'd be like, put that away, let's have a drink, you know, no big deal. Just craziness. And eventually, through the grace of God, I kept meeting people along the way. I used to think if you worked out and stayed in shape, you could drink all you wanted. And I would meet people like in the steam room or in the gym who I used to drink with, who said, you know, you ought to come to an AA meeting. And I would think, who the hell are you to talk to me like that? You know, when I get as bad as you, I might do that. So eventually I got to a meeting. I met a guy. I called him up one Monday morning at 7 o'clock. I said, Whitey, he said, I would ask you how you are, but I know if you're calling me at 7 o'clock on a Monday morning, you're not doing too good. And so he came, he got me. I said, bring Valium, you know, I'm shaking. And walking into walls that weren't even there, for crying out loud. And so he put me on his couch and fed me and dragged me to meetings, and I'm sweating, I'm like a mess. And eventually, the arrogance of the alcoholic kicked in. And I got to the point in this program where I thought, you know what? I spilt more than you people ever drank. And I got arrogant again. And the day after Christmas, because the mayor didn't throw a parade for me for not having a drink, I said, I just had to get out from under this stuff for a while. I'll be all right. I'm going to go down to the bar, have two or three drinks, and then I'm going to come home. No big deal. I go down to the bar, sit up on the stool, throw down the cigarettes, the Zippo lighter, have a glass of scotch, have another glass of scotch. A guy says to me, there's a party in Hoboken. Do you want to go? And half hour later, I'm at Hoboken snorting cocaine, drinking scotch, and just losing my mind. And I went on another run. Well, eventually, again, through the grace of God, I got back to this program. And, I went through a lot of changes in this program and I did a lot of things wrong. It said half measures would avail me nothing. And I thought, well, half will give me half and that'll be all right. And I would get involved with people I shouldn't get involved with, get in relationships I shouldn't get involved with. I actually got married 90 days into the program. The marriage lasted 90 days. My sponsor said, I said, should I get married? He said, are you going to not get married if I tell you not to get married? I said, no. So I went and got married and ba-boom. It just was crazy. And I went through a lot of changes in this program, spiritually, emotionally. I've had times when I've crashed, times when I've been suicidal, times when I almost drank. And it says in our big book, it says sometimes the only thing between us and a drink is Almighty God. And I truly, truly believe that because I've been there with the bottle in my hand. And I have to tell you that, you know, these steps are so powerful. And I put them off and put them off and put them off. And I just gave me nothing but hardship. And then I did a couple of them, but not all of them. And what I've discovered is, you know, we have people in this program who come here for 15, 20, 30 years. And people said to them, you know, don't drink and go to meetings. Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work because we need to do more than that. These people go out. What happens when you have 30 years of sobriety and you don't have a spiritual foundation and a God to depend on, and the doctor says to you, you know, you got stage four cancer, or you lose a child in an accident, or some other terrible event happens. What do you do? Some people go out. Some people go out. And then they come back after 30 years and they're struggling. Because I really believe that when we look at the steps, six and seven will be the steps, if we don't do them, will be the things that'll kill us. Because my character defects are very scary. Without God's grace, and if I can't ask Him to humbly remove them, they're not going away. What are my character defects? Anger, lust, envy, whatever the others are, I got them all. But if I can't will them away, I got to tell you, there are people in this room, and I'm not saying it in a judgmental way, because I and the reason I know this is because I was one of you. I would go home and be one thing at a meeting, be one personality in a meeting, and go home and do something I shouldn't do. Turn on the porn, overeat, get involved with people I shouldn't get involved with, sleep with people I shouldn't sleep with, get in relationships I shouldn't be in. Everything wrong. And all it did was separate me from God's spirit. Whatever I'm thinking the most about is my higher power. If I'm obsessed with material things, and I was, Mr. Romance and Finance, and if I'm obsessed with getting the car, getting the house, achieving this, going here, getting, and not gaining serenity, and not learning that God loves me, and that I need to try to live in the image and likeness of my Creator. And I used to think, boy, that's dull. Until I learned that the 12 steps says we're talking about the joy of living here. We're trying to find the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy of living. And the less I try to write the script, look at chapter 5. The less I try to write the script, the better it falls into place. The less I have to do with it, the more it rolls along smoothly, And I know that if it wasn't for this program, I would, because I would be really in big trouble, because there are days, and I'm sure you all have them, when I feel like God hung up the phone. And God never hangs up the phone. I'm the guy that walks out of the light. God's, and to me, God's love is always shining. I'm the one that puts up the umbrella. I'm the one that wants to get more comfortable in my character defects and go backward and put off getting peaceful and gaining serenity and growing in the image and likeness of my Creator. Let me put it off till tomorrow. I hear people get up here sometimes and say, I don't deserve to be here. And I say, hell, you don't. God wants you to be here. You don't deserve hanging out in a crack house. You don't deserve hanging off a bar stool drunk. You don't deserve to be in situations that are risky situations with all kinds of bad stuff going on. You don't deserve that. God is rooting for all of us, and we all need to be here, and we all deserve to be here because God loves us. And I want to thank all of you for being here. Thank you so much.